Hello again and welcome to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. I'm your host, certified sex therapist Lori Watson, author of Wanting Sex Again, and blogger at Psychology Today and WebMD. And I have with me Dr. Adam Matthews, my co-host, who's a couples therapist, psychotherapist, and president of NCAMFT. Foreplay is dedicated to helping couples keep it hot. Thanks for listening. Now on to today's topic.
Hi, and welcome to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. Today, we are sponsored by Crated with Love. Did you know that married couples that rarely have one-on-one time together have a predicted probability of divorce rate of 41% compared to 12% for those who have it at least once a week? And Crated with Love helps you spend more time together. They are a date night subscription box service that helps couples strengthen their relationship with monthly games, activities, and challenges, all delivered right to your door. Find them at cratedwithlove.com. Lori.
Adam.
It is finally warm.
Oh my gosh.
Our long, dark night of winter is finally over.
My feet are finally warm.
My eyes are finally adjusting to sunlight again.
I know, thank God. And it's beautiful
here. It is beautiful.
It is just beautiful.
In good old North Carolina.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Everything's blooming. It smells so good.
You and Derek have big summer plans?
We do. We're going with the fam. We're all going to San Fran.
San Francisco.
Nice.
All right.
We're going to go to the wine country. Yep. Mm-hmm, all the kids,
and it's going to
be really fun.
A little wine tasting, a little walk in the clouds.
Wine tasting, yep. And we're going to go to the Sequoias and just have some good Asian food. And, I can hardly wait.
Awesome. We're just figuring out plans how to wrangle my kids for the summer. So your kids are gone. Summertime is not leisure time in my house anymore.
It's just
wrangle time.
I know. I used to think, it's summertime. It'll be, this means actually more activity.
This means more activity.
Not less.
More work.
More
of saying no. More of saying do this, don't do that.
Yeah.
You know?
I didn't have air conditioning when I was a child. I lived in Southern California.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no air. it was just hot.
I cannot. Being in the South, you cannot live without it.
It's crazy.
It is a necessity.
Crazy hot. But I am so ready for crazy hot.
I'll take crazy hot over crazy cold.
Yeah, exactly.
Any day.
Exactly.
So today we are talking about the 7 do's and don'ts of a great sexual relationship. And this is a question we get frequently. What do you do? What do you not do? Just wanting to impart some knowledge in this area.
These are kind of the rules, right?
The rules.
These are
the
don'ts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think the first one is don't make a big deal out of it. Don't react negatively, particularly if your partner is struggling. Maybe he loses his erection or she's not seeming to get aroused. Don't take it personally. Don't react negatively. Don't say, what's wrong? Why is this happening? Are you not attracted to me? Don't react negatively.
Yeah, please don't say, I can't believe it just went limp. Don't say don't say things like that. Or I can't believe you didn't have an orgasm after that.
I know, after all my work.
Yeah, after all that work and effort that I put
into
it.
I went there for 20 minutes,
Right. Yeah.
Lori said it would happen after 20 minutes.
Negative reactions include laughter, right? Pointing,
yes.
Laughing.
tragically, I would say occasionally I hear that, from a partner. And sometimes I just feel like I'm like the laundromat, I just have to take what people say, this really tough kind of stuff that they lob at their partner, and I just try to launder it, make it come out clean, make it come out in a way that gets rid of all the shit, and, basically is a way that is kinder, more empathic, and, they talk to their partner in a better way.
Yeah, and I think you have to recognize that it is part of the process, that those ups and downs are going to happen in any long-term sexual relationship.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't take it personally and just roll with it. Everybody has a bad day. Everybody has a bad night. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's okay. Sometimes just being together, naked time, is great time.
Yeah, and not taking it personally for yourself individually or for the relationship, right? It's not it's not necessarily an indication that something is wrong in your relationship. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it just happens, right?
Right. And do maybe ask, can I get out the lubrication or can I help you in some way? Let's pull out the vibrator. Yeah. Let's get this game going.
Yeah.
Some positive energy, I think, is way better than a criticism in bed.
Yeah, absolutely. Our second don't check your phone. Right. Oh my goodness.
All at dinner or in the bedroom. Yeah. Either place.
Yeah. Are you a fan of this? I'm a fan of keeping all the electronic devices out of the bedroom.
Absolutely.
It's just helpful, right, for that vibe that we always talk about of keeping the bedroom for rest and sex, right?
Yeah.
It's helpful with
sleep
rest.
And sex.
And it's helpful with sex as well. So if possible, getting them out of the bedroom is just helpful around.
Yeah.
But it creates something where you're distracted. You're not present in the moment. Right.
I know. You know, people sleep with their phones. They, like, sleep with their phones next to their pillow.
Yeah.
There's an app, for the record, too, that, like, measures your sleep by your movements on your bed. Yeah, I've tried that for a while.
Some people put them under the pillow, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But I just think it takes you out. Sex is such a – it requires you to be present, right? Good sex requires you to be present in your body, fully participating. And the things like phone, the iPad, they're distracting. And they pull you away from that moment.
They are. I think, you know, we are all just leashed to our phones.
Mm.
Recently, I've been practicing just on a weekend unleashing, you know, putting the phone down and figuring, you know, if a client needs me and it's an emergency, they can go to the ER if they are that emergent.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard, but you can't be ever available.
Yeah.
And you can't be ever available to your work. I mean, people. Put the phone down.
And I think this is becoming such a cliched piece of advice as well, but it's so true. Like, I think everybody is talking, recognizes that is something you should do. But if you want to improve your sex life, get them out of the bedroom, put them down, put them in the drawer, do something to get
don't
away from that.
Don't rate your sex life on social media.
Don't rate your sex life on social
None
media,
of that,
for
please.
Sure. Our third don't is don't stop listening to what your partner wants, right? I think this is such a good one, right, of being able to tune in and be attentive to what they are saying.
Yeah, I think that many times people get discouraged, especially the sexual distancer. Mm-hmm. You know, they said, I have asked for this, and my partner just never remembers all the accoutrements that I need. Maybe it's music or candlelight, or maybe it's just aggression. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. they really want a really enthusiastic beginning,
yeah.
and their partner seems to forget that. And so doing that and remembering that often helps. You know, they have to listen and kind of remember and prioritize what we say.
They do. And oftentimes I think people too, like, think they have to just say that once. And then their partner's going to get it forever. But that's often not the case.
It's rarely the case.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that their partner is not trying or not being attentive to them. I mean, I think it's both ways. Like, I have to be attentive to what you say, but I also have to continually repeat what I need. And I think when people do that, they're going to get further, right? And if they don't get frustrated that they have to repeat themselves sometimes, because it just can get lost. It can get lost in time. It can get lost in all the stuff of life. And being able to say that clearly and having a partner that also hears that and listens to that creates some goodness in their sex life, for sure.
That's true. Also, don't keep doing the same things that are not working. I sat with a couple recently, and you know, for many years, it didn't work for her. And she didn't say anything, and he knew it wasn't working for her, and he didn't say anything, and they just kept doing the same thing over and over. And they both knew it wasn't working. I think the beautiful thing was they kind of blamed themselves versus each other. They said, I didn't do my part, I didn't speak up, and you didn't do your part, you didn't speak up. And they both knew that they had created this difficulty, you know, by doing what they knew really wasn't satisfying.
And people get stuck in ruts, don't they? Like,
yeah.
They get stuck in those ruts. Like, there is a light bulb in my house that I need to change that I just haven't changed. And, like, I know I need to change it. I know it's not helping me. I stub my toe in that room every single time. It's a closet every single time. But I just live with it, right?
I know.
And it eventually starts to become, I could change that light bulb anytime that I wanted to.
Yeah.
And I think this happens with couples, is they just keep doing the same things that are not working and not addressing them for a multitude of reasons, right, that they don't address them. But you don't have to do what doesn't work. If it's not working, stop.
Yeah,
I
really think people should have some sort of regular sex talk. And this is not every week. This is not post the actual event. But maybe once a quarter they say, you know, how's it going for you in the bedroom? You know, anything that we could do that would be more fun or make it more intimate or make it more meaningful for us? You know, let's think about it a little bit and be intentional.
Ah, yes. You're using my word.
Yeah, I'm using your word.
All right, it's not my word. I guess
you've
I don't
drilled
own
it into my head, and it's become
it.
Part of me.
Yes.
I like it.
Intentionality is my favorite thing.
Yeah, it's good.
I think when you stop doing the things that are not working, you get freed up to be more creative and to find different ways to do the same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it also shed lights on other areas that you can continue to improve on and work on. But there's something about doing things that are not working where you get stuck that you start to become hopeless that things are ever going to be different.
Right.
And
it's just often a little small change. I think people often think, to change this relationship is going to make me, I'm going to have to be completely different. Or my partner wants me to be completely different. And actually, partners are often very satisfied when we make small steps in their direction. You know, okay, maybe you can't do this one act that they really like, but can you allow them to fantasize out loud about it?
Mm.
You know, so that they can, you know, in their mind experience it and enjoy it or something. I mean, is there some way you can give that makes it better?
Yeah. So we got through four. We got three more.
Okay.
All right.
Back in a minute for Play Radio Sex Therapy. Thank you so much to all our Patreon supporters.
Right? Yeah. Patreon is a platform where you can directly support things that you love. We really want to expand the resources that we can be able to provide to you as our listeners.
If, you know, our work touches you and our work helps you, we would be so grateful for your support. Just go to our website, foreplayrst.com, and there you can find a way to support us and you can see our episodes and our blogs. And thank you so much, guys.
Speaking with certified sex therapist Lori Watson from Awakening Center for Couples and Intimacy. Lori, what is an intensive?
So an intensive is 12 to 14 hours of therapy all in one weekend. And it's a way to really make fast progress compared to weekly therapy. I mean, there's just so much more you can get done when you have a chunk of time.
Overcome the challenges in your relationship and your sex life. Learn more about intensives and Awakening Center's other services at awakenloveandsex.com.
At Matthews Counseling, we believe it is our job to come alongside you in whatever difficult challenges of life you are in and help you rediscover hope and to find the strength that you have to face those challenges. We strive to create a safe and comfortable place for you to explore who you want to be and identify the obstacles standing in your way. Oftentimes, the first step toward finding help is the hardest, but it can also be the bravest. Give us a call at 919-587-8018. Find us online at matthewscounseling.net. We look forward to working with you.
Okay, we are back for Play Radio Sex Therapy, and we're talking about the last three don'ts. And, you know, don't think you know everything, right? You need to listen to foreplay.
Yes. You need to keep learning. Like, that's the that is the thing just going forward is I wish all young couples would know that right off the bat that sex is evolving. It's a thing that continues, your sex life continues to grow and evolve over time.
We hope.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what we're about.
Ideally, yes.
Helping people do that.
Yeah, so you have to approach it as an idea. If you approach it as a, you know everything, then your sex life is just where it is.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I had a male friend who said, like, really read a book about sex? That's like learning to ride a bicycle by reading a book. Mm. I'm like, no, because actually you're having sex with the opposite gender most of the time, and you may not know what it feels like to be in their body. And, you know, a book may help you, or, you know, you can learn different techniques from a book. The other thing I think about reading is, you know, some people come into the relationship, a commitment, and they've had 30 partners. So they believe they know it all. You know, I've had all this experience. I know so much. I don't need to be taught anything. And actually, they need to be taught something really specific about this partner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody is so individual. Yeah. They need to learn. And we not only need to learn from greater sources, but we need to kind of learn from the micro source, which is our partner, by asking questions and being open to the fact that, you know what, they need this. This is what turns them on.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that is this is rooted in just our ideas about how we learn about sex in the first place,
mm-hmm.
right? That we don't talk about it. It's not always something that we think about. We have to learn how to do. And so
and
just
overcoming
that assumption.
And if we have to learn anything, it's not natural, right?
That's right. It's not spontaneous. So it's not it's more stilted and forced, but we need new information, right? New information, reading new books also keeps our creativity up, right? It gives us, it kind of gives us some It builds our creative juices as far as anything. I mean, if we want to be creative in anything, reading more, learning more is going to help fuel that fire. And so reading books about sex, learning about sex is going to fuel that creativity in the bedroom as well.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I talk to particularly women with low libido, you know, and she will go into great detail about the birthday party she threw. You know, she researched every venue. You know, she researched all the little favors she was going to give. She went to all these stores and did all this stuff. I'm like, you know, if you had just spent, you know, half an hour of that time and read a book, read one chapter of a book to give yourself some idea or to like prime the pump or get your mind thinking about sex in some way, it wouldn't be like you're coming to the bed cold. You know, you're coming to it with some ideas and freshness.
Yeah, I think
It takes work, right? It takes some learning.
Yeah, and I think it just keeps you curious as well. I think a curious stand with our partners is one of the best things that we can do for our relationships, where we're just curious about them and about how we can be better in our relationship, but also how, and that applies to sex as well, how we can be curious about how our sex life is going to be even better than it was, than it has been already.
Yeah, exactly.
So our next don't is don't say yes when you mean no.
Oh, yeah. Right. I mean, I hate this. And, you know, and then the person who says yes when they mean no, maybe they just have starfish sex. And I mean, that's demoralizing, right? Totally demoralizing. Yeah. Don't just say no.
Starfish are boring anyway.
Yeah, I mean, starfish are really boring.
We don't need any of that. I don't need any more starfish.
Yeah. to anything. I mean, like, you know, if you really mean no, either say, no, I don't want to right now and set a date, you know.
Yeah. And how Main like check. How confusing is that for your partner when you say yes when you mean no, right? I mean it's because they're going to act in a way as if you mean yes, right?
Yeah.
And so like they're just, and then that starts to just create a lot of distrust in the relationship as well, right? Because if I can't trust your yes to mean yes, then it starts to bleed over into other areas as well. How can I trust you when you say that about what you like or about what you about the food that I cook or the choices that we make or how we spend our money? Like, I think this is kind of a basic honesty that has to happen in relationships, but especially with sex.
Sure. And, you know, I know I said it the one way that, you know, as if the man was the one that was asking, but I'm thinking of a particular woman who says, you know, she's a touch connoisseur. And one of the things she asks for is a long time of foreplay and a long time of touch and, you know, and really body contact. And, you know, when her partner says yes to sex, sometimes he means his way of having sex, which is, you know, quick and fast. And she's been really explicit. And some he gets caught in the moment and then he doesn't give her what he needs. And, you know, that can be really difficult.
Yeah.
Either gender can ask for something and the other one can say yes, but really mean, no, I just want to do it my way.
Yeah.
Or I don't want to do it at all.
Yeah. I mean, I think it really puts our partners in a double bind when we do that, right? Or another way to say that is that it's a catch 22. When we say yes and then act like we say yes to sex and then we act like a starfish, right? Then it just becomes something that it's just a mixed message signal that as a human, right, just our physiology doesn't know how to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
We do not know how to deal with mixed messages, and we try really hard to resolve them. Our brains try really hard to resolve those mixed messages, and if we can't come up with a satisfactory answer, like, it's kind of crazy making.
It is
a
crazy
little
making. Our attachment figure is like a person we believe tells the truth. I mean, that's part of attachment. It's part of trust.
Mm.
And so double messages, you know, really mess up the relationship.
Yeah. And it makes it hard to know how to go forward. So,
and it's, you can't negotiate, right? You can't negotiate. If your partner is saying yes and they mean no to anything sexually, you can't really say, well, let's talk about this, because they actually just, you know, caved and then went limp.
Yeah.
So
I think it's very damaging for somebody anyway to have sex when they do not want to.
It is.
Right?
Absolutely.
It is just damaging.
Absolutely.
In a lot of different ways. And so if you don't want to have sex, don't have sex, like, period.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But we also think, of course, long term, you know, sex is part of a committed relationship.
It
is certainly part of a marriage, and what we pledge is fidelity. So
right.
Something to be worked out. But in the moment, better to be truthful.
Yes. So our last don't is don't expect sex to resolve all your conflicts. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Can I just like double stamp that one, triple stamp it, say, pay attention to that one, because it is not a fix-all.
It's not obvious when your fight is about sex that somehow or other people think if we just had sex, it would be that would be we wouldn't be arguing. We would be great. Mm-hmm. But because the fight about frequency is really something deeper, you know, actually having sex doesn't solve that deeper problem.
Yeah.
That's what's crazy.
I mean, I do think sometimes, not all the times, but sometimes sex is an avoidance mechanism for some couples,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they know they may know how to do that, but they have a fight, right? And they don't resolve it, but they know that that's an area where they can feel close. So they use it to kind of cover over some deeper mm-hmm. some deeper issues. Not always, but sometimes I think that mm-hmm. that I think that that happens as well, and mm-hmm. it can be problematic in that way.
Yeah, it absolutely can be. I'm thinking of a couple right now that uses sex that way, and they seem to just cycle through the same problems over and over and over. They feel some closeness, and I would say that I think sex can help ease the path, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes. But this couple seems to be avoidant in that way, just like you described. You know, they never dig down, never get through it, and they just keep repeating the same thing. Sex keeps them coming back, but it's actually a toxic sort of bond, which sounds crazy. I mean, how can you be good and bad and actually have something toxic? I mean, over time, of course, it erodes. That's that's the problem. Not solving real problems erodes eventually your sex life, too.
And I think what people skip sometimes is the makeup part of makeup sex,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah,
they have the fight, and the good part of that, the good way that sex can kind of rebuild and restore after a fight gets messed up because they're not doing the actual making up after the fight.
That's right. That is a clever point. I think it's life affirming. Makeup sex is life affirming if we've made up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's just a necessary step, but you can't get the cart before the horse, right?
Right, right. But overall, do expect sex to bring you closer, right? I mean, it is a pathway of love, and many people need that in order to feel emotional intimacy first.
Yeah, absolutely. The big do, right? Keep it positive. Keep your dialogue open.
Keep it creative.
Keep it creative. Keep it fun.
So thanks for listening. This is 4Play Radio Sex Therapy.
You can now call in your questions to the 4Play question voicemail. Dial 833-MY-4PLAY. That's 833-4-PLAY. And we'll use the questions for our mailbag episodes.
Hey, help us stay on top here at 4Play. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take 1 sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.
All content is for entertainment purposes only and should not be considered as a substitute for therapy by a licensed clinician or as medical advice from a doctor.